You ready?
All right. There we go.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jamie Barges. I'm the president and CEO of One Fire Associates, which is an organization that supports development, research, and evaluation, primarily for tribes and urban Indian health programs. I'm not sure what's going on up here. Do you know why it's not? Well, that's okay. We'll make it work. Before I get started, I want to make two disclaimers. Dr. Glenn Albright, who couldn't be here today, he is the founder of Cognito Interactive and is the visionary behind these modules that we're going to show you today. And then also Lynn Davis has joined us from Cognito, and I'm thankful she's been able to come over today to do a demo. I'm sorry we're not going to be able to do the demo on the big screen, but we are going to do it from the laptop. Hopefully you'll be able to see it up to the best of your ability. The room's small enough for that, but we weren't able to get that done on the big screen today. So I want to give you a little bit of background about how this all came to be. About 5 years ago, I met Dr. Albright in Washington, D.C. I was working as the Director of Technical Assistance and Research for the National Council of Urban Indian Health. And at that time, he was presenting there on these at-risk modules that he had been using for communities across the country for really providing gatekeeper training. And for those of you who don't know what gatekeeper training is, it's a intervention that's really kind of a community-level intervention for trying to prevent suicide. And really what it is teaching people about the signs and symptoms and really helping them build skills so they know how to intervene if they see someone who might be at risk. And he was using these very interactive technology solution for doing this type of training, and as I learned what he was doing, I did the demo, I was like, wow, this is something that I really could see be very beneficial for the communities that I was working with. And at the time I was the TA provider for the Meth and Suicide Prevention Initiative funded by the Indian Health Service. And one of the things at that point, gatekeeper training was one of the number one interventions the communities across the country were using. And here's usually how it would go. They would hire someone to come in and do gatekeeper training. We never knew really what the fidelity of that training was. The training, if it's a very remote rural community, they would fly somebody in, it would be several thousand dollars to do the training. And literally within a year, probably about 80% of the staff had turned over. And so then you have to do it again. So when I realized that he had this solution, I really started engaging him in figuring out, well, have you considered how it applies to American Indian communities, and is it something that might be a solution for our communities? So that's kind of the history of how I ended up linking up with Cognito, and really it was trying to find some kind of culturally based and sustainable solutions for gatekeeper training. And for those of you who don't know, we are in American Indian communities are overburdened by the health disparity of suicide, especially for our young people. And we do have a unique risk factor of historical trauma that makes it a little different than other ethnic groups in the country, although other groups have their own traumas in various ways. But then at the system level, we also continue to struggle with a lack of funding. We're really funded at about 50% of need if you look at the funding across the country for the Indian health system. There's also a lot of high stress and turnover, particularly with behavioral health staff, because the caseloads are super heavy. And there's very few mental health workers, and so they usually have high caseloads, and the conditions and issues that the families are dealing with are very, very heavy and very great. We also deal with a lot of remote locations, so it's really tough sometimes to get training in, as well as to train a broad range of folks. And then there's really a lack of culturally tailored interventions, particularly for suicide prevention. If you look at the evidence-based practices in the country, there's really only one that was developed with an indigenous framework that's been accepted into the National Registry of Evidence-Based and Promising Practices. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what these modules are and hopefully to give you a demo. Really what it is an interactive module, training modules that are online, where it allows you to really have many conversations with people that might be at risk. And these are intelligent, emotionally responsive avatars, and they do experience some psychological distress, and it allows you to kind of interact with, potential students that might be at distress and actually have conversations with them that are very interactive. So whatever you choose in terms of your response will get a different response from the person that's at risk. And it allows you to kind of adapt your behaviors based on role-playing and skills building. And then it also incorporates local resources for referrals, so that's also usually built in so that you know where to go and where to refer people to if they are at risk. And there's some unique components, and I do want to kind of draw your attention to the screenshot on the right. This is Mrs. Yazzie. She's the first American Indian avatar, so we're super excited about that. For those of you who don't know Yazzie, that is like Smith for the Navajos. So anybody that hears the name Yazzie is going to be like, okay, well, either she's Navajo or she's married to a Navajo. So we're very excited that we have an American Indian avatar now. And this one is being used in the Albuquerque area for preventing suicide for LGBT communities. So it really kind of speaks to the fact that these modules can be very tailored to address a lot of unique populations. And here's the things that really caught my attention to it. I'm a clinical psychologist by training, so I was very excited to see that the role-playing actually uses motivational interviewing. For those of you who don't know motivational interviewing, it works very well in Indian communities. It works across a lot of cultures. And so this was the very first gatekeeper training program that I'd ever seen that was building motivational interviewing skills into the module. So I was very excited about that. The other piece that I really like is that it allows you to do training with high fidelity. So because it's tech-based, the fidelity of the training is pretty much the same every time, so you know that they're going to be getting the same types of didactics and the same type of skills building. It also, from my experience in doing role plays within tribal communities, it reduces the anxiety of role playing in front of other people. That's super embarrassing for some, especially if you think, oh gosh, I might say the wrong thing or make a mistake. And so it kind of reduces the anxiety because you're just interacting with an avatar rather than role playing in front of your peers. And then the other thing that this is really important, I think, from a cultural perspective, is that nobody has to act like a suicidal person. And for those of you who may, I don't know if you do or not, the one evidence-based practice in the country that was indigenous-based for suicide prevention is called the American Indian Life Skills Curriculum. And when that was being developed, they actually had to get Native students from a nearby college to come and play the suicidal kids because the community did not want their kids acting out the role, and you're basically putting a lot of negative energy, and that's not okay from a lot of cultural perspectives. So nobody has to act like a distressed or act like a suicidal person, which is another benefit. And then the other thing is it allows for 24/7 training. So you could get training anytime. You could do it from your home. You could have kiosks in the schools, hospitals, in the clinics, and so forth, community centers, and so forth, and so on. So I'll tell you a little bit about this data has been collected over a couple of years. And the data, they're actually implementing these modules all over the country. And so of the sample, we had actually 983 American Indian Alaska Native students and educators that have participated over the course of a couple of years. And they participated in one of four at-risk modules. They were either university or college faculty, college students, high school educators, or middle school educators. So those were the folks that were participating in the modules. And of those 983, we had 86 of them that did pre, post, and 3-month follow-up testing. That percentage of follow-up is the same for all the other ethnic groups, so it wasn't really different for American Indians than it was for any other ethnic group. Most people will maybe take one assessment point, but to get all three is a little tough to do. So we were really excited to have 86 matched pairs that completed all three assessment points. And we had 19 middle and high schools participating, 42 colleges, and the data for American Indians spanned 19 different states. We did use repeated measures ANOVA. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the data, the scale that we were using to collect the data. The gatekeeper behavior scale has been standardized by Cognito, and it's 11-item tool that really has three major factors. It looks at preparedness to intervene, the likelihood or intent that you would engage in gatekeeper behaviors, as well as your self-efficacy, how confident you feel in your ability to intervene if you think someone might be suicidal. The scale actually has high internal reliability. So I'm going to talk just briefly about what the findings were, and I want to make sure we have time a little bit for the demo. Overall, we did find increased preparedness to help students in distress. We found increases in participants' likelihood to help, as well as increases in self-efficacy to intervene. We also asked about how many behaviors you have engaged in, and you'll see that people self-reported that, so it started at 1.15 and then up to 1.49, but the standard deviations are a little bit variable. One of the things I want to point to your attention is at the three-month follow-up, you can see that the means reduced a little bit. As I've been doing a lot of this gatekeeper training work around the country, one of the things I'm starting to think about is gatekeeper training is really like CPR. You really have to renew your skills every year. And so I think that that's an important part when you're thinking about gatekeeper training. And then finally, I want to talk a little bit about the means efficacy. I do a lot of community-based and participatory research, and one of the things that I've certainly learned, particularly when it comes to looking at culturally based practices that work, is that you really have to look at, does the community want it, and do they think it's useful? Like, that's some of the most important stuff. Does the community want it, and they think it's useful? So as you can see here, people really felt it was useful, well-constructed, pretty easy to use, likely to help them, and you could see all of that there. All right, and then just briefly, I want to talk about the limitations. This is a quasi-experimental within-group design, so people self-selected, but that's pretty much the same for every gatekeeper training program that's out there. People choose if they want to come or not. We did have a small sample size, but I pretty much put that in every single study I've ever done with American Indians, so that's ongoing. And we did have four different module types. It would have been great if we'd had large enough sample size within one. This really needs more cultural adaptations. While we have Mrs. Yazzie, and I'm super excited about that, I would really like to see a more strength-based tool that's developed from an indigenous framework. And then we need to really look at, can we get rid of face-to-face, or do we really need to have face-to-face trainings? There's a lot more research that needs to be done on this topic. I really see this as preliminary. And then I think it would be good to implement with a targeted community so we could have a stronger cultural lens. Okay, Lynn?
Thank you, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. My name is Lynn Davis, and I am the Strategic Partnership Specialist at Cognito. And I'm really happy to be presenting alongside Jamie today. And I'm going to attempt to show you a demonstration from a small screen up here in a moment, so hopefully that works out. But before I do that, I just want to tell you a little bit more about our trainings, our company, and some of the great work that we do and some of the great work we can do. So Cognito is a technology company. We're based in New York and Chelsea, and we've been around for about 10 years. We develop online interactive training simulations like the one Jamie described that teach people how to have difficult conversations about health. So if you remember one thing about Cognito, think of us as the conversation people. Again, and Jamie described a bit about how this works, but you as a learner, you assume a role of a character in a virtual environment, and then you engage with other virtual humans in one-on-one conversations about a sensitive issue. And so the training I'm going to show you is a demo that features a teacher who interacts with a student who is questioning, an LGBTQ student, and he's questioning, and you're going to have a conversation with him about how he's feeling, and you're going to learn how to identify the student, approach, and then refer the student to more help. This technology lends itself well to professionals who are in gatekeeping roles, who interact with at-risk populations. So in addition to clinicians, this works really well with educators, military personnel, peers, and other caregivers. So what I'm going to do is show you a demo. And this program that features Ms. Yazzie, the Native American teacher, is called Step In, Speak Up, Supporting LGBTQ Students. Currently, about four states have adopted this training for free use within their state. So in Maryland, Delaware, I believe now Hawaii has adopted this training, and a couple of other states. Teachers around the state can use this training for free.
bright, kind of going back and forth between being bright and dim in here, so we'll see how it works, and I'll kind of hold it up. But as you can see, play.
Hi, I'm Annie.
Can you do this?
I might walk around.
Okay. So these are the avatars. These are on-screen coaches who are going to guide you through the training. And they kind of start off with getting the training. They introduce the subject matter. They get statistics about LGBTQ students and their struggles. So that's kind of the introduction. So I'm going to pause it. This training is organized into four sections. And there's a menu bar here, and within the training, I can move from the different sections. What I'm going to do is just jump to the third section, and this is the section where the teacher can reach out to the student and have an interactive conversation with them. So then you have the coaches start to begin a discussion. So they introduce what you're going to do next as an educator supporting the student. The avatars, you can design them to mirror any person that you want with any identity, any background. Okay, and again, you have more background. And this is the piece where you learn how to identify various characteristics about a student who is struggling.
Yeah, even
and that's indicated by the student comfort meter. You can always undo your choice. And so that's it. Again, I'll be available after the session if you have any questions. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you. And contact information is up at the top, too.